grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, welcome back to our second in a four-week series called Discovering the Kingdom of God. During our time in these 4 weeks, we are starting to understand better the kingdom of God and understand that this is the gospel that Jesus preached and taught about. We saw this last week when we discovered the gospel of simply going to heaven when we die is just a very tiny portion of what the gospel truly is. There's a lot that happens to us on this side of heaven, a lot of things that God has in mind and in store for us. And that's great news. Great news for us and great news for all those other folks out there too. And it's true that God's forgiveness that we have through what Jesus did for us, the promise of living with him forever and eternity in heaven, it's wonderful. But the good news is even better than that. Because God is not only concerned with getting us to heaven forever, he's also concerned with getting a little bit of heaven into each one of us down here in the here and now in our daily challenges and trials. That's what the gospel of the kingdom of God is really all about. If you remember back to last week, we focused on two key phrases or two key verses that Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount. From Matthew chapter 6, he said, "Let your kingdom come," talking about his Father's kingdom. "Your will be done," his Father's will, "here on earth as it is already in heaven." And secondly, Jesus helps us set our priorities for everyday living when he says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these other things, food, clothes, roof over our heads, all of those will be given to you as well." So this is God's will for us, to desire and to pray that his kingdom will come to earth, break into our lives in wonderful ways, and that we should align our priorities of living our life each day with that one goal in mind, that we bring the kingdom closer, both physically and spiritually to us. This week, what we're going to talk about is a little bit more about our identity as citizens of God's kingdom. How do we live in God's kingdom and what does that look like? And then also the privileges and responsibilities. Yes, there are responsibilities for being a part of this wonderful kingdom. And here's a good place to start. Every believer, and that's a loose, broad term we use in a lot of different ways, but every believer, that is everyone with faith that Jesus promises are for them individually, every person who finds peace in their relationship with the Father through Jesus is now a part of God's kingdom. In a wonderful gospel passage, Jesus explains this to Nicodemus. He said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And then he repeats it for Nicodemus and for us. "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit, because flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And this passage has so much to teach us, but let's make sure we get this one thing straight right away, because this is critical. Not one of us, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a lay person, no one attains, earns, or works for their place in God's kingdom. You and I have inherited it. We were born into that kingdom because of what Jesus did for us. And if that's true, if we are born into God's kingdom, that means that you and I are his children. Makes sense, right? The Apostle John assures us this is so when he writes to God's people, and he says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are." Last week we also talked about this idea that God's kingdom is not a physical place. It doesn't have boundaries. If you watched the video earlier, with God's kingdom kind of leaking out. I don't know what color that was, because I don't see colors like you see colors sometimes. But whatever that was, leaking out from God's church, that is awesome. That's a wonderful, vivid image. If we think about God's kingdom not as taking place in one spot here on the earth, we can know that his kingdom, well, it's not of the world. which means that when we are born into God's kingdom by grace, which we are, we have to learn how to live a new way. Kind of like when you move, right? Especially when you move from one state to another. Back in 1996, when I moved from Des Moines, Iowa to here, I had grown up living in Iowa all my life. I got a call from a headhunter, "Would you like to move to Minnesota?" "No, thank you." Click. Called me back, though, and I changed my tune eventually. But when I moved from Des Moines to Minneapolis, I had to learn some new rules. You guys are a little bit kooky up here. The first rule I learned is that it's expensive to live here, especially in the Twin Cities compared to East Des Moines. The cost of living, well, I wasn't really expecting it. Imagine my shock after going to Arby's, which was my normal lunchtime fare, but I went to one in Eden Prairie next to where I worked, and there was no dollar menu. What's up with that? The dollar sandwich that I could get down in Des Moines here was on a so-called value menu, and it wasn't much of a value because it was $2.39. And I can just imagine in the 20-plus years what it costs today. So the first thing I realized is I should have asked for a higher starting salary for my new job. But instead of that, I got a part-time job to go with my full-time job. Difference number two, when I moved from Iowa to Minnesota, I learned about getting my car emissions inspected. You remember doing that back in the day? Luckily, Jesse did away with those things, which brings me to my second fun fact about living up here. And that fact is, politicians don't necessarily, apparently, need to have any political experience. You see, I've seen Jesse the Body Ventura, along with Jimmy Superfly Snuka and Bulldog Bob Brown and many others at an exhibition fight in my hometown many, many years ago. So imagine my surprise at seeing Jesse Ventura in his suit being sworn in as governor? And people say, Iowa's weird. But getting back to my point, see, when you're born into God's kingdom, there are different rules. It's not the same as living in this world. God's kingdom doesn't operate the same way that the worldly kingdom does. This is critical, because worldly kingdoms are based on things like political power, or maybe wrestling power, too. They're based on things like military might, or wealth, or beauty, or intelligence, and all the things that we see are valued so much by culture around us. But friends, the values in God's kingdom, they're radically different. These values include such things as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and, oh, come on, self-control. Thank you so much. I should have warned you this was the interactive portion. Now hopefully, even if you don't know all of those on the list, you'll recognize some of them. Paul gives them to the Galatians in chapter 5. And Jesus teaches his disciples that things like worldly values of leadership and greatness and power, those things in his kingdom flow from humility and servanthood and service. And some of those things are definitely not a part of what the world values. In fact, the world's values are often in complete opposition to kingdom living, wouldn't you say? Think about the places where you live or have lived, those places where you work, those places where you play or go to school. What values does the worldly system around us reward? Think about our political system. It often seems like they reward power and persuasion. It often seems like the smooth talkers and the folks who throw around vitriol and criticism and cruel lies, they're the ones that get ahead. Our business systems reward competition and wealth. Our society rewards celebrity and beauty. And our media rewards screen time devoted to division and sensationalism. Now, don't get me wrong. These things that I talk about, they're not all bad all the time. They're just not the things that God values, and they're not the way he runs his kingdom. So wherever people work and play and live and go to school, his kingdom, God's kingdom, can be found. And it can be found operating with completely different values than what we hear coming from outside. But you see, sometimes we've gotten very confused. Last week we talked about this idea that people are confused that the kingdom of God is actually the exactly same thing as what we say when we say heaven. kingdom of God includes heaven, but it's so much more. You and I will get to heaven one day because of the common faith that we have in Jesus, the price that he paid for us. But in the meantime, what we want to have happen is for heaven to break into the here and now. Remember another thing we learned last week, and again, go out to YouTube and watch it if you haven't already. But when we think about and become preoccupied with some future heavenly kingdom that we want to be a part of, we in fact need to be looking for God's kingdom here, now, today. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught us to pray, "Let your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven." And Jesus said plainly that God's kingdom should be our priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So I have to repeat that wonderful question that we ended with last week. Do you really think that Jesus meant that we should make going to heaven after we die as our highest earthly priority? No. And one note of explanation here, as we start working through the Gospels, we need to understand that each of the Gospels were written to a different audience. And Matthew's Gospel usually prefers the phrase kingdom of heaven over kingdom of God. You might understand this just given a little bit of background. The reason that the two phrases can be used interchangeably, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, is all due to demographics or audience. Bible scholars understand that Matthew was writing primarily to a Jewish audience, and the Jews of the first century, they were very careful about using God's name, if they used God's name at all. So we would call this Yahweh, or if you're a little bit smarter than me, you might say Yad-Heh, Vav-Heh. See, the people in the Israelite nation would not want to say the words that we know that mean God. They would not use his name. They would prefer this four-letter acronym instead. They're even wary about using many of the other nouns and descriptions of relationships that refer to God. All of these different things that we kind of take for granted, the Jews will not say. And so there's a reason that Matthew writes Kingdom of Heaven, because the Jewish folks knew that heaven is where God ruled. And so it became very clear that kingdom of heaven, used as a courtesy for his listeners, is the same thing as kingdom of God. So if you're looking and following along in your Bible and looking at your translation, it says, well, it says something else here, Pastor Dan. You begin to understand a little bit more why that is. So this kingdom of God, the true perspective that we need to have for discipleship, and discipleship means following Jesus, either discipling, making disciples, or becoming disciples. And when you're discipling, you're a serious student, and no serious student of Jesus will ignore his teachings or his demonstrations as given to us in the gospel lessons. Yes, I said the word demonstration. Did you realize that Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God? Jesus explained the things that he did, the things that he said, what he taught and preached in terms of the kingdom of God. The healings that he did, the miracles he did, the deliverance and feeding the masses are all signs of the kingdom of God. See, the world had longed for the rule and reign of God to come to earth. They didn't know it at the time, but they received their answer in the person of Jesus Christ. And now today, in his absence, Jesus expects us to demonstrate and explain God's kingdom to other folks. To be about the kingdom work is to be about our Father's business. In Jesus' absence, he gave his disciples, that's you and I, the power to go and preach and teach and baptize in his name. Do we see a lot of that happening, though, in the world? Perhaps one of the reasons that we struggle a little bit in this area is that we are not focused on making disciples of the kingdom of God. What we're doing is making disciples of our little church or congregation. Each different segment and denomination teaching what they believe about God and how you fit your lives into that theme and scheme. But friends, discipleship, following Jesus, and personal spiritual formation, maturing in that relationship with God, is more than just grasping our distinctive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod theology, as cool as our theology is. But it goes deeper than that. It's about recognizing that we are part of a worldwide church. That's church with a capital C. We need to be finding where we are connected with other disciples of Jesus all around the world. But often we take our enthusiasm over God's mercy and forgiveness for us, and we overlook those outside of these walls who also need to know that same thing. We overlook people who don't look quite like us, or don't talk like us, or don't believe exactly what we believe. But it's true. And it's amazing that everyone who trusts in God can expect to go to heaven. That everyone with a capital E. And there's more. You see, Jesus is after more than just an eternal reward then. He wants us to join him in the family business now. And as we receive God's forgiveness and mercy, as wonderful as those gifts are, we can't keep it focused only on us. We can't keep it focused only inward. We have to be focused outward on God's kingdom, and we want ourselves immersed in his priorities. Because Jesus is the king of an entirely different kingdom, a realm with another language, another way of life, a totally different culture. You see, God wasn't kidding when he said that his ways are not our ways. Listen to this beautiful passage from Isaiah 55. Verses 8 and 9 say this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," talking to us, "neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, you and I are born into a realm that operates differently. And just as newborn babies, we must learn the ways of God's kingdom. And I think this is a reason why so many Christians have difficulty maybe finding traction in their spiritual lives. They expect something to happen right away, working in the world's value system. But we have to remember, we've been born into a different kingdom. And if we start to live our lives or attempt to live our lives by the values of this world and our culture, our community, or even our own church body sometimes, we're not going to get very far. See, the Apostle Paul took this new birth very seriously. Here's part of his prayer for the newborn Christians in the city of Colossae from Colossians chapter 1. He says, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light," or kingdom of God. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." I want you to notice two things about this prayer. As children of the kingdom, you and I have an inheritance from the Father. And this inheritance includes eternal life, but it includes so much more before we get to that time. And the second thing I want you to notice is the difference between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of the Son, or kingdom of light, as he says here. That's a vivid image. Imagine, if you will, waking up in the middle of the night, having to navigate through the darkness with no lights, no night lights, no stars or moons shining in. And even if you know your path, you're still a little bit hesitant. You're still feeling your way, hoping that you're not going to stub your toe along the way. Now then, imagine what it would be like walking outside after church today with the bright sunlight coming down. You can be sure of your steps. There's no worrying about what you're going to stub your toe on because you can't see it. So friends, here's the question for today. What kind of movement best describes your life in Christ right now? Because wouldn't it be awful to have a grand inheritance of the children of the light, but still live life as though we were in darkness, trying to feel our way and unsure? The great news for you and for countless others living right now is that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the light, our Father in heaven, is available and active in our lives today. So to recap, here's what we've discovered about the kingdom of God. Today we've discovered that you enter God's kingdom by new birth, water in the Spirit. It's not something that you can attain by working harder or practicing more or trying to be good enough. And finally, that being born from above is simply an entryway, the very beginning of a whole new life. And since we are part of God's kingdom today, there are some new things to learn, new ways to look at things. How foolish it would be for us to hold on to the values of the world and stay in the kingdom of darkness when we have the kingdom of light available to us. We learn that God's ways are not our ways. His values are not our values. His values are what we learn when we walk in the kingdom of the light. And friends, the task of discipleship is the work of learning a new way to live as you grow and mature in your faith, as you're here this morning or watching online or watching the video later today. Turning practical actions from kingdom values. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the world would recognize the difference as we live in the light and move in the light and shine that radiance out to the world? Because you see, much of the world still lives in darkness, still afraid of what might be coming, what might be happening, what they're going to stub their toe on next. Because what wonderful words we could use to share the kingdom of light with someone else. Finally, and this is the Father's will for all of his children. It's the King's joy to give those in his kingdom these blessings and benefits, to teach us a new way to live. And as we close today, I want you to consider these inspiring words from Jesus from Luke chapter 12, where he says, "Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." What would life be like if you could live in the freedom of the kingdom of the light? Free from worry and fear. Free from where am I going to get my next meal? Or how am I going to pay for this bill? Friends, that's going to happen because we are part of the children of the light. We need to focus first on his kingdom, to be living in a kingdom that draws together believers from all walks of life and all sorts of colors and cultures and ethnicities, all different needs and gifts. We need to stop thinking of a future eternity and understand our eternity is happening right now, and God's kingdom is in us. We need to be engaged and be thinking of what that looks like to you personally, for your family, our community, to be part of the Father's business in the here and now. I hope that you've learned a few things over the past few weeks, and I hope that you will take to heart what you're hearing. And also look forward to seeing you for week 3, where we'll learn some practical application for everything we've done so far. In Jesus' name, amen.